We're getting close to harvest now for many of eastern Australia's crops, and after years of terrible drought, some parts of the country are now really looking forward to a bumper season. But farmers were still worried. With international and national border closures, growers were facing the possibility of severe labour shortages, and for some fruit and vegetable regions, they have literally had to leave produce on the vine or in the ground. Northern Territory mango growers are facing this situation right now. But what about grain growers? They need labourers, but they also need drivers to run the headers, sophisticated bits of harvesting machinery that are worth literally hundreds of thousands of dollars. Sometimes you've just got to think laterally, and that's exactly what my next two guests did. They're sharing a mobile phone in Victoria's Mallee, and one of them is an old friend who I met back in the days of Bush Telegraph on this network, John Ferrier. Welcome back to Radio National.
Good morning, Michael. Yes, nice to hear your voice there, and still doing, you know, a great job on Radio National. And we are sitting out in a very sunny paddock in the beautiful Mallee in a beautiful season, and it's lovely to talk to you again too, Michael.
John, just explain how many hectares the Ferrier family will be harvesting starting in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
We'll do about 4,200 hectares of crop, and at the moment we're actually, that's a variety of crops, that's wheat, barley, canola, lentils, safflower. At the moment we're baling vetch hay, so the weather has been a little bit challenging in that space to get it baled up, but hopefully we're going to have a really big day today and bale and get it stacked up before the next rain event, which Mallee farmers always enjoy a rain event.
Yes, I think it depends on what time of year that rain event occurs, John.
That's correct, Michael, yes. Up until wet weather start, we're happy to have a little bit of space from that, but that doesn't always happen, and I guess it's important to us to get the crops off efficiently and as we can and as quick as we can this year when there is quite a strong El Nino forecast for us, so just sort of, it'll be an interesting period for us.
Just explain to people, what's that beeping going on behind you?
Probably could be the door in the ute, but...
Now it's gone? That's better, thank you.
Sorry about that.
I thought it might have been one of your headers going up and down doing something, but no, it was the ute door. So has this been one of the best seasons you've had this year, John, for a while?
We actually were fortunate enough last year to be in a nice little sweet spot as compared to a lot of the east coast of Australia. And we got our crops home basically on winter rainfall and not too much spring rainfall. This year has been quite an interesting year that we did have summer rains. The sustainable farming programs we use at the moment, really we can store those summer rainfalls and make use of that water in the soil bank going through the season. This year we had quite a dry June, July, and people were getting concerned, although the forecasts were positive, it wasn't happening. But in August we had the rains come back again, crops were in good situation, so we are going to look like end up with above average yields, and probably prices may not be quite as strong as last year, but the marketing side of it still has some time to play out as well.
Well, the other side of this equation, of course, is getting the crops off, as I mentioned before. And when COVID shutdowns were at their peak, I think you and the family were talking about a plan on how you were going to fill your labour needs. What did you have in mind at that time?
A little bit of concern that we would get labour that we needed and require on the farm in that critical period. First protocol was obviously last year, the labour that we had last year, and one of those guys who's doing his final year age science at Melbourne Uni has come back and also bringing a mate with him. So that's good to have some continuity. And we were also, thinking that we were short of space for, more labour that we could to help us through the situation. And my daughter-in-law, Deanne, was sitting at a wedding and she was having a conversation with a Qantas pilot who said, yes, there's a platform that might be used to be able to get some skilled workforce in another space here. And so we put an advert in that website, and hence we've had made contact, and Mike's sitting in the ute with me at the moment. we've been doing a little bit of training, just some familiarisation in how agriculture works in this space. So Mike's sitting with me in the ute at the moment, Michael.
Ah, Mike, hello. Welcome to Life Matters.
Hello, Michael. How are you?
I'm not too bad, not too bad. Now, Mike, you find yourself now on the land for, I think, probably the first time since you were a kid, and I'll find out more about that in a moment. But you were, up until recently, flying planes, commercial airliners for Qantas, weren't you?
Yes, that's the case. I'm with Qantas, and since COVID has kicked in, as I'm sure most people are aware, sorry about that, Michael.
That's all right. Is that Qantas trying to find
you? Currently grounded at the moment. That was just the radio in the car going off, but we've turned that off.
Okay.
Yeah. So I find myself on the ground at the moment for an indefinite period.
And, Mike, how long have you been with Qantas?
With Qantas for 25 years now. And prior to that, I was Australian Army flying in the fixed wing section there for 7 years. And, that's where I've come from.
So a pretty specialist field of skills. And how much notice did Qantas give you that you might be stood down?
Well, when the hammer came down, I was in Perth in the transport on the way to fly a sector from Perth back to Melbourne. And it was all sort of unfolding as we spoke. That was back to late March when they talked about the stand downs occurring Well, this was like a Saturday, and I think the stand-downs were going to be occurring effective Monday. So it was very, very quick, very rapid sort of shock to our system and our lives.
I can imagine. So you would have been in the air flying from Perth to Melbourne thinking about what fate awaited you.
Yes, we had some inkling that it might have been coming, but when the hammer came down, it was very quick. And, it left us all pondering where we were going at that point and what lay ahead for us,
And, Mike, you talk about being stood down, does that mean your job's kind of in mothballs and could be reactivated at some time when things improve?
Yes, that's correct. With Qantas, we are stood down, effectively. There's no work for us to do, so basically said, well, don't come into work. We're not being paid at the moment for that stand-down period because there is no work, of course. It's a bit different to probably some other cases around the country. I know that Virgin have got their issues and there's difficulties going on over there different to mine, but I'm still employed. However, stand-down at the moment.
So prior to seeing the Ferrier family's ad for looking for Qantas pilots specifically, how much farming experience had you had?
I've had no proper experience. My father was a wheat farmer over in the Wheatbelt in WA very early in the piece of my life, and I do have very early memories of sitting in the paddock watching the Cessnas come in and land when I was about 5 or 6, I think. But then,
see, even your memories of farming, Mike, sorry to interrupt, but even your memories of farming hark back to aviation.
Yes, well, I blame that point for being the trigger of my interest in aviation because I remember distinctly seeing these aeroplanes coming in and what a wondrous thing they seemed to be, and that sort of just piqued my interest further. But and now I find myself back almost full circle in a way.
Yes, indeed. And, in fact, putting to good use, I would hope, some of the skills that you've been developing over the last, 32 years' worth of flying. I'm just wondering, when an entire industry, such as your own, is grounded literally across the world, suddenly there's a lot of people looking for work all at the same time. What does that mean for someone like you who wants to find a way to make income when you're competing with colleagues in the same sector?
Yes, it makes it extraordinarily challenging, the prospect of, what am I going to do now? And given the nature, the indefinite sort of time period we're looking at, it's really hard to navigate and find a way through. The longer it goes on, I guess people are starting to find their feet a bit more as far as, maybe pursuing other professions or doing further study or entering other avenues. But yeah, it was a big problem, Michael. It was a big shock across our industry, tourism, aviation. We couldn't just up and move to some other place where they were offering a job of a similar type. So yeah, it was daunting, Michael. It was very very daunting aspect to have to face.
So when you applied and or replied to the ad from the Ferrier family, and now you're on the farm itself, were you a little trepidatious about what awaited you if you were going to get into a different kind of cockpit compared to a plane?
Yes, in the plane I'm very comfortable. I know and understand and love that environment, and it's my workplace. So, like you at the desk there with your radio gizmos, etc., I'm sure you feel very comfortable there. I was the same in the cockpit. So to come to the farm was daunting but also exciting. I knew I had a skill set that would probably dovetail quite nicely into what was needed out here. And there's been a bit of talk and a bit of a platform developed to facilitate this. And, I'm very excited by the whole prospect.
John, oh, by the way, if you just joined us, my two guests are John Ferrier, who's a multi-generational grain farmer and chairman of the Birchip Cropping Group in the Mallee, and Mike, who's been a Qantas pilot for 25 years and has been stood down because of COVID restrictions on flights, and now, for the first time in his life, is working on a farm and possibly in a very different cockpit aboard a grain header. So, John, how did Mike perform in the header's cockpit compared to a flight deck?
Well, it seemed very comfortable to me from where I stood. I think David, the son, has really been showing Mike the ins and outs of the header and what works and what doesn't work. And we sort of got it out, hooked it up, just all that mechanical stuff that we need to do to get it in the paddock, and the computers and that are in it, and the GPS, all that sort of stuff to start that up, get it, and sort of, you'd have to say, to coin an old phrase, a bit like a duck to water. It was no issues at all, and just a matter of familiarising. And also, Mike has also taken it on to upgrade his truck licence, so he will be driving one of the semi trailers as well. So I think that is really great in a farming operation, that we'll be able to have some flexibility, not only driving the header but driving the truck, and maybe at times even driving the chaser bin, just to see, how long, to keep in those sort of working hours, we're not overworking, but just have some flexibility around the whole harvest operation.
Mike, do you find yourself in the cockpit of the header, putting the flaps down and, in fact, finding the header going underground?
No, I don't. It's just like flying in the Army. We used to do quite a bit of low flying, much like agricultural-type flying. The presentation when I'm sitting there in the header is actually very similar to that. It's about the right height for where I would have been, my old Pilatus Porter down amongst the weeds. So that part of it feels great. The technology in the modern day machines and the headers is quite incredible and fascinating, I must say.
But I sense an enthusiasm here, Mike. Would you be thinking about a farming career beyond restrictions on pandemic?
Funny you should say that, Michael, but that has entered my mind. I'm at a stage in my career where I'm sort of at the tail end of it, so I'm looking to probably retire in the next 5 to 10 years maybe, and the idea that I could still be involved in some capacity up with the Ferriers or in this environment has a strong appeal, yes.
The employment contract has just come out from underneath the seat of the ute, and we're all in the right direction, heading in the right direction, Michael.
That's great, John. Well, look, I wish you all the best with the harvest this year, you two. And, Mike, this sounds like it could be the start of a next part of your life, even with your commercial airline skills. All the best to you, and thanks for taking the time today.
Thank you.
Good, Michael.
John Ferrier, longtime friend and grain farmer chairman of the Birchip Cropping Group, and one of his new employees. Qantas pilot for 25 years, Mike, who now works on the Ferrier farm, and he's not the only pilot doing this work, apparently, which is